Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Please be seated. All the way back to Exodus, God stood before a rock and instructed Moses to strike it with a staff. Here, once again, in the gospel, before a rock, he's instructed Moses with a staff in Exodus. Here again, far more visible, God is before a rock where water may be drawn. This time, a woman stands perplexed before God, who's made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, who sits. He's tired of journeying by Jacob's well. How can you ask a drink of me, she asks. She was a Samaritan and he a Jew. The story of the Samaritan woman is one of three stories from the Gospel of John that's going to carry us through the remaining Sundays of Lent. And this story comes directly right after the story of Nicodemus we heard last week. In contrast to Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the dark, this story takes place right about noon in the high light of the day. And Jesus is passing through Samaria on his way north from Judea to Galilee. There's a very complicated history of animosity between Judea and the Samaritans that would be a cause for them to completely avoid each other. But there's Jesus traveling through Samaria. Did she notice that he was tired? She certainly would have been most probably on her second trip to the well that day because it was midday. So they're both exhausted. And tired though he may have been, he was full of life and he promised her that same life. The water that will become for them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Eventually, she ponders aloud to him about the coming Messiah and Jesus, our God. He reveals to her that he is in fact that Messiah. So in turn, this woman becomes the first evangelist as she runs back to the city of Sychar and proclaims what she has seen and what she has heard, and many must come to believe. She doesn't only tell them about Jesus, but she also invites them to come and perceive for themselves. And notice too, even while proclaiming, she's still a little unsure. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Even she is still growing by stages and thirsting for the living water. In their dialogue, we witness a transformation in both Jesus and the woman, from a mutual wariness and bias to an openness and understanding. Throughout their discussion, Jesus is able to break down religious and cultural boundaries in a number of ways. First of all, he tells her that their future worship is not going to be relegated to a single temple like they would all be brought up to believe. Also, he's speaking to a woman in public. And then he offers to draw water for her, which is a task that's relegated to women, and it is a woman's duty. So seeing Jesus, I like to call this a recognition event, a gradual recognition of who Jesus is, moving from a Jewish man with no manners to a person who has something that she needs, which is water, to a prophet, and then possibly the Messiah, and finally to the I Am, the absolute, timeless, ongoing. And help us to see, too. Help us to recognize where we don't see this in our lives. Jesus offers her unconditional acceptance as a woman, as a Samaritan, and empowers her with the gift of message of the eternal life from this water. And this becomes grace-filled for both of them. This reading caused me to ponder our hymn choices this morning, and in particular, Amazing Grace that we just finished. I can recognize in your singing and in the very holy space that we sang this hymn in, that there's a real connection of this hymn. And so how does it also connect with our gospel reading this morning? Well, let's take a look. This hymn was written in England in 1772 by John Newton, and it's gained a stronghold across many, many faith traditions. Newton writes about a grace that is immense and very, very personal. This hymn is his conversion story that lays out when he found God, or rather, when God found him. Newton was orphaned at a very early age, with his father being his life taken at sea, but he followed in his father's footsteps as a slave trader on the African coast, capturing and selling humans in the trade. Well, one day alongside the crew, a storm came up and was sweeping his men overboard, and many of them drowned. And Newton cries out to God with a prayer that we know today as a Jesus prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. And forward from that day, Newton, which we celebrate on March 22nd as a day which is set aside for humiliation, for prayer, and for praise, this became a recognition event in Newton's own life. Arriving home safely, he no longer wants to go and seek profit in human trade, but learns to speak Greek and Hebrew, and he was eventually ordained. He preached his conversion story all over to any who would hear him in many congregations, and became a power-filled change agent advocating for the abolition of the slave trade. William Wilberforce was the abolitionist who actually accomplished this political feat over many, many years, which John Newton was actually able to witness before he died. And this is beautifully depicted in a film, I don't know if any of you have seen it, called Amazing Grace. It's this wonderful story, and I highly commend it to you. It chronicles the years of advocacy on the part of William Wilberforce. So this hymn touches the hearts of many Christian pilgrims who face darkness and hopelessness in their own lives, yet they rely on their hearts that are going to be converted by the Holy Spirit in our Lord Jesus Christ. To John Newton, grace appeared on an ocean. It became living water, which was previously the vehicle of human oppression and suffering. To the Samaritan woman, grace appeared at the well. It became living water through her recognition of Jesus Christ, the great I Am. To you, to us, where has living water crashed into your life or stepped into your life? We should live every day as if we're dying. Dying to self and living in God by receiving and living in this water, this life refreshment. We can rest in the hope of his word and sacrament. Recalling our baptism, we thank God for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved, and it was in the beginning of creation. Through it, God led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise, as we recall in our Exodus reading today. In it, your son received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, who was recognized by that Samaritan woman, to lead us through death and resurrection, from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. Although flesh will fail and earth as we know it ends our human form, we will be renewed in God our Creator, who will be forever with us. We thank you, Father, for the waters of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we rejoice in joyful obedience to your Son through fellowship and eternal grace of the living water of blessed eternity. Amen.